Welcome to this very special edition of TV Campfire Podcast. This week we got to talk to the cast of the show Grimm, including David Gwentoli, who plays Nick Burkhart, and Russell Hornsby, who plays Hank Griffin. Grimm airs on NBC on Friday nights. Enjoy the interview.
And our next question comes from the line of Carla Day with Click Clack. Please go right ahead.
Hello, there's some questions for both of you. In the first two episodes, Nick really hasn't had any problem hiding his Grimm ability from Hank. Hank kind of gone along with Nick's hunches. How does that play out going forward? Is it going to become an issue for the partnership?
I'll take the first. I'll give my answer to David Gwentoli. Yes, I think as the series goes on, it becomes more and more difficult for my character to keep these two worlds separate. In the first several episodes, they're fairly separated. The monsters are only going after a different perpetrator and not very much me. As the episodes go on, they're starting to come after me and my life. And my life includes the precinct, and my life includes being at home with Juliet. And then they start going after, maybe, I don't want to give too much away, some of my loved ones. So it becomes a little more difficult for me to keep this lie going.
Excellent. And Russell, from your perspective?
Well, from my perspective, I mean, I'm totally in the dark. So as things sort of open up, it becomes a little bit more interesting for my character to discover, you know, just new elements of the show, of the story. But again, I think my character starts to see, again, as I said in the previous question, that things are just getting a little weirder in the city. And he's just seeing the type of crimes that are being committed are a little bit out of the ordinary. But I mean, as it stands, I don't know what the future holds as far as my character finding out about Nick's ability. We'll just leave that up to the writers and sort of, we'll all have to just tune in.
Excellent. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now we'll proceed to our next question on the line of Adam Vitkazic from Peace Magazine. Just go right ahead.
Hey, guys, how you doing today?
Doing well. How you doing?
I was wondering if there's any specific fairy tales you want to see worked in, and if you have any preferences on who would play them, perhaps. I don't know, like anything out of that realm.
I mean, there's like 300 fairy tales that we're working with. Anyone that involves me sleeping for 8 hours would be wonderful. I think we've probably done maybe 12 different types of fairy tales that weave their way in and out of the show. I don't really have a preference for one. We haven't done a ruffled Spillskin, truly. We've done many of the famous ones. My favorite has always been Rapunzel, and we've already dealt with that in episode 107, I believe, and it's a wonderful episode that I can't wait to see. And it's incorporated in a very fractured, very fractured way. It's very difficult to, it would be difficult to figure it out as a viewer against Rapunzel, but there you go. And as far as guest stars go, I mean, we've been very lucky with some of these people who really just elevate the roles from the page to bring it to life. And as long as they keep doing that, you know, that's what I'm happy about.
My favorite thus far has been the Pied Piper sort of fairy tale, even though I'm afraid of rats, but I still enjoy the story. But as far as guest stars are concerned, it's actually quite a joy to meet new very new and very talented actors, you know what I mean? A lot of those names that we're not familiar with as fellow artists and actors, but also that the community and the fans may not be familiar with as well. So it's good to meet new talented people.
And exactly. We're also, building on that, we've been able to use a lot of the local Northwest talent, which is maybe they don't get to work as much because they're not in LA. And there have been some phenomenal actors and actresses who've come through Portland and Seattle and the vicinity.
Very cool. Thank you, guys.
Thanks a lot. And our next question comes from the line of Kristen Clark from PopCultureMadness.com. Let's go ahead.
Hi, thanks so much for talking to us.
Thank you.
I'm curious for both of you, has there been anything that you've been surprised to learn about yourselves while, you know, developing your characters for this show?
Russell, you got this one first?
Yeah, I didn't realize I had a sense of humor. I've always been used to doing really intense dramas all my career up to this point. And, the writers have weaved some wonderful, funny moments and bits and a lot of levity into the script and into my character. And it's actually a lot of fun to play. So I'm not as dour and dark as I normally am in the other roles. So, yeah, that's... I can sort of be light. That's what I'm doing.
Thank you for that, because it's going to perfectly juxtapose. Like, I feel like I can, I've had to be very forceful and very, you know, authoritarian and forceful, I guess, would be the word, in various episodes. And because these Grimm's creatures, one of the wonderful things about our show is the creatures have been raised to fear me. Fear, you know, they run away from me when they see me on the street. And my character, Nick, is supposed to be this, like, nice guy, a detective with a family. So their response to me doesn't sync with my identity on the show. And as the show goes on, I try to kind of fill that role and actually become this fearful enemy of the Grimms when they're around, so, or of the creatures when they're around. So that's been very fun to play.
Great. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
And our next question comes on the line of Josh Maloney from Niagara Frontier. Let's go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
So, can you guys talk a little bit about your relationship on and off screen? You guys have some good chemistry on screen, but can you talk a little bit about your relationship and what you think the other brings to the particular role?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, first and foremost, we have a wonderful chemistry. I think it's been great. Our entire cast has been really gelled nicely off screen as well as on screen. But Russell and I, from my point of view, it's been an honor working with him because, you know, he's, as I like to say, is a youthful veteran of the world of theater and acting. So I've learned so much from him, just as, like, you know, as far as the trade goes and the craft. And, you know, between him and Silas, just getting to spend so many hours with them, it's like going to, you know, it's like going to master class.
And, you know, I mean, the joy of working with David's very, very smart, intelligent actor, and has a wonderful, you know, approach to the work, you know, as well, which is totally the opposite of my approach. So it's been wonderful to sort of watch how he approaches the material and just learning from that. And also, he has a great sense of humor. So, you know, we're able to, like, wisecrack, you know, on set, and it makes the day go by a lot faster, you know, just being able to work with somebody who has a sense of humor, takes himself seriously, but not too seriously, but is definitely talented, but also engaged in the work.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you. And our next question comes on the line of Lisa Feinberg from Starry Constellation Magazine. Let's go right ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
My pleasure.
Well, speaking of some of the local actors, like you were talking about, a friend of ours has been an extra, Tara Dublin. She said she's going to be in the precinct this weekend.
That's right, of course.
We're looking forward to see that. But My question is probably really directed for you, David, since Russell's not on Twitter, but how has social media networking sites like Twitter and Facebook been a really great asset for the promotion of the show?
I was a reluctant adapter, but I've learned to really love it. I mean, our promotion of the show was, I don't know if anybody else has done this before, but we leaked, for all of the followers of NBC Grimm, we leaked the pilot episode to them maybe a week in advance to get kind of the buzz out there and to get some of the good talk within the, you know, the fan base. And people were kind of reticent about that. They didn't know if that would take away from our viewership of the of our premiere. But we premiered to really big numbers. And it was, I think it was so smart, so, you know, right on the nose. And I don't know if that would have worked if it wasn't a quote-unquote genre piece. I don't know. But, yeah, Twitter had really helped launch us and helped us become this this hit for NBC.
Absolutely, and hopefully that will entice Russell to join as well, because there's so many of the amazing cast members that tweet during the episodes, like Ayanna Berkshire and Vitzi, and of course yourself
exactly.
as well. You're really great with
Sasha, Reggie, everybody does that now. It's fun. It's really fun after a while.
All right,
get into it. I'll help Russell set up his account. How about that?
All right, we twisted the arm. All right.
It works.
Thanks very much, David and Russell. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And our next question comes from the line of Heather Galley from Spoiler TV. Let's go right ahead.
Hey, guys. This question is actually for Russell. You play cops a lot, and I was just wondering how this role, Tank, is going to differ from the other cops, particularly the role that you played on Haunted, which was another Supernatural show.
I actually think this character Hank has a more interesting personality. I think it's a more well-rounded character. I'm having a lot more fun playing this role, and I think because of the concept and the show itself, I'm able to sort of, you know, add different elements of Russell, you know, into the character, which makes it a lot more fun to play. The difference with, the character in Lincoln Heights, which was more recent, and this was more of a father knows best sort of police officer, you know, where now I'm sort of the Man Friday, if you will.
Great, thank you.
I will proceed to our next question from the line of Steve Aramo from Morton. Let's go right ahead.
Hi, David. Hi, Russell. Pleasure to speak with you both today.
Thank you.
And before I ask my question, I have to tell you, Grimm is my favorite new fall show. I think you guys are doing a tremendous job, and it's just been getting better and better as the week has gone on.
Oh, thank you so much. Appreciate your support.
Yeah, I was wondering perhaps if you could tell us a little bit about how you both initially became involved in the project, and tell us about the audition process for your respective roles on the show.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead, Dave.
Cell phones. Okay, it was kind of the run-of-the-mill process for me. Pilot season, you get a bunch of scripts sent to you, and you kind of, if you're lucky, you get to kind of whittle down the projects you're interested in. Grimm was one of the, you know, immediate things my attention kind of honed in on. I actually worked with the director. The director is the one who called me in to audition for this. His name's Mark Buckland. I worked with him on a show called Love Bites, like 2 months prior to the casting process for Grimm. And also, the producers knew who I was because I worked on their show Hot in Cleveland last year. So already, it's nice to be kind of highlighted in that way. You're kind of, you know, you're cut above the rest, so you're not like a number. They know you personally. So that helped a lot. They brought me in. I read for the producers and Mark Buckland, and they're like, okay, can you test next week? And testing's like the big, you know, there's you and 500 people that they want for the role. So that happened. And then I heard they, like, were going to try to offer it out to, like, a big movie star, and I freaked out, and then they didn't. And then we did the test process, and they called me when I was driving away from the audition. And told me I got the role, and I had to pull over because I thought I was going to run my car through like a house because I just was so excited.
Wow, God. I think for me, it was, I had a few fans in the room for my work on HBO's In Treatment. So, and again, they knew my work just as an actor, but I think the biggest question for me was, could I handle, you know, the more lighter elements, the more comedic elements of the show? And so sort of going in there and auditioning, I think that was one of the things that they wanted to see if I could handle. I guess I handled it, and which has really been a lot of fun for me to sort of, again, find that lighter side of Russell and the lighter side of Hank.
It was fun. I got to be in the, to help out in the auditioning process, I got to be in the room when they were casting some of the other parts, and so I got to watch some of your auditions, Russell.
Oh, yeah.
Home run!
He scores! Listen, thank you both again.
So there was a flag on the play. sorry, we went on the tangent. Apologize.
No, please, no. Okay. Thank you again both for your time. And listen, continue good luck and success with the show.
Thank you so much for your support.
Take care.
Thank you very much. And ladies and gentlemen, once again, as a reminder, if you have any questions you'd like to ask for today, you can press the 1-4x4 on your telephone keypad to register your question. And our next question comes in line with Erin Willard from Sci-Fi Mafia. Let's go right ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks so much for being on the call today. I love the show. Really love it.
Thank you.
Okay. And congratulations on the People's Choice Award nomination. Was that a surprise? Did you know that was coming?
No, I had no idea. It was quite a pleasant surprise, certainly.
Yeah, that's excellent. So I wanted to ask each of you how you feel about working in this show as it's being kind of, I suppose, quasi-genre. Russell, I know you've done work because of Haunted, but are you comfortable with doing the genre work, and is it a challenge, you know, physically as well, dealing with green screen and touch?
It is a challenge. I think the biggest challenge for me, since, you know, my character doesn't really deal in the fairy tale world as much, are the elements. I mean, because of where we're shooting in Portland, it's foresty, it's green, it's, you know, it's lush, trees are mossy, and it gets cold and wet and rainy. And so the biggest challenge has been trying to, you know, to stay warm while looking, trying to do your best to look cool. You know what I mean? you know, a lot of hand warmers and a lot of layers and you know, smart wool socks and whatnot help, but I mean, we're in the middle of the forest, and you know, we're trying to walk through his cops looking really cool and dashing and, you know, sexy and whatnot. But we're
can you do those things?
that's been a lot of fun, but a big challenge because Old Man Winter just kind of comes through and tries to take you away.
And our next question comes from the line of Kurt Wagner from Red Eye. Just go right ahead with your question.
Hi, guys. Thanks for doing the call. David, this question is just a quick question for you. We talked last week, and we couldn't remember the name of the bar on Broadway in Chicago. Is it Brian Boru's?
It is. Well done, sir.
All right. I used to hang out there with you. Okay. And it is a dive bar, correct?
It's a complete dive, yeah.
All right. Well, that's all I had. Thanks.
Oh, that's okay. Nice research.
Thank you very much. And I'll proceed to our next question from the line of Libya Alamine from Videonopolis. Go right ahead with your question.
Hi, thanks for talking to us today. My question is, if you guys got to be in the writer's room and got to change or add one aspect to your character, what would it be?
I mean, you know, since we're dealing in fairy tales, you know, like any kid, you know, I wish I could fly. So if they could make my character fly, that would be great. And the hush fell over Jerusalem.
I was like, hello?
Oh, can you hear us?
I can hear you, but I was waiting for the second answer.
I'm sorry, this is the operator. We're just waiting for Mr. John Tully to dial back in there.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
We actually literally lost him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a very interesting question.
But, I mean, maybe as a cop, I mean, would there...
I don't know. You know, sometimes you wish, I wish, especially as a detective, that you could, that I could read somebody's mind. I had the power to sort of read somebody's thoughts.
To basically help you with... I was going to say, to help you with the cases as...
You know, then you know, like, okay, I don't have to waste time trying to, like, you know, we don't have to deal with the whole good cop, bad cop thing. You know, I can just kind of, you're lying. Or, you know what? Okay, you're telling the truth, I'm going to let you go. You know. But, yeah, that and, you know, being a superhero would be great. I wish I could fly.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. In any time away, we'll proceed to our next question on the line of Liz Henderson from Nice Girl TV. Just go right ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for taking the time with us today. What did you think of when you first heard about the idea of Grimm? What was your initial reaction? What did you think about it?
That it would either be very cool or very silly. Yeah, I mean, quite honestly, you're reading it and you're saying, wow, this could be really cool. Like, I would love to work on this show. But then, you know, the other side, you know, other party goes, wow, how will this work, you know? And you just hope that you have, you know, smart people in the writing room and wonderful directors and very creative minds behind it, which we do have. And I think we've been the former, which is, you know, we've come up with something that's very cool. I mean, I thought the concept was fun. Just definitely a different spin, you know, on the procedural and on the fantasy. And I think their idea of bringing, like setting this, you know, enveloping the fairy tales with the real world is really what inspired me to really want to be a part of the show.
I agree. Great show. Oh, okay.
Thank you very much. And we've got Mr. Gentile back on the line, and we'll proceed with our next question, the line of Iona Kafusi from the whatitdo.com. Just go right ahead.
Hello. Hi, Russell and Dave. How are you doing today?
Doing well, thank you.
Okay. Well, my question is, now, they discovered in the last question is how it's pretty risky. The show is a pretty risky show. And so, but it could also easily get the cult following, like Twilight and things like that, right? So how have you been preparing for that? Because I think that's going to happen. So how have you, both of you, been preparing for this kind of hysteria?
You know, I don't think you can prepare. I think that's something you have to, let me speak for myself. I think that you have to just kind of allow it to happen and continue to be yourself. And I think that's what, you know, I think that's how you kind of work through it. You know, I mean, you hope that it's a cult following. You hope that people love it and whatnot, and it becomes a very successful show. But we still have to continue to be, I still have to continue to be Russell the individual, you know, and just continue to be myself.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting to think about, you know, it's nice to get recognized and it's nice when people are excited to see you and take a photo with you, and that started happening a little bit for me. And, you know, I just, I think it energizes me, and I just welcome it. I haven't prepared for it in any way. I just, you know, if it happens, it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't, but I'm going to enjoy the ride.
And I also think you have to sort of, you know, you have to manage expectations as well. You know, I mean, there was a famous actor who's, he rest in peace, Roscoe Lee Brown, about 10 years ago said to me, never mistake your presence for the event.
And that's always stuck with me, and I really sort of live by that. And so, you know, you never ride too high or too low. You just kind of walk the line and walk right in the middle. And in that way, you know, you're always managing expectations and continuing to be yourself.
All right, great. Good luck to both of you. You both are both humble gentlemen. I'm looking forward to seeing more of you on TV.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. I'll proceed to our next question on the line of Cal Nola from No Reruns. Please go right ahead.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking time to talk to us. So Nick and Hank are partners, but then Nick also has a separate partnership with Monroe. Is there any chance that we're going to see these three get together on cases, or is it still going to be, like, separate relationships?
We actually, my character is with David Cantoli. I don't want Hank to know about Monroe and the Monroe-Nick relationship. I don't want him to know about that. However, you know, the three of us do get together from time to time or happen to be in the same room from time to time. And in one case, we use Monroe's expertise as a watchmaker and a clockmaker on the case, and I kind of have to reluctantly have all three of us together in the same room. Drama ensues.
Thanks for listening, and if you have any questions, comments, remember you can send feedback to tvcampfire@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, we're on Facebook, and listen to us on getthepointradio.com and Krypton Radio. Talk to you guys next week.